Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. It is Lanice Williams here with another edition of the Cobb County edition of Business Radio X. I am excited to have two wonderful ladies in the studio with me today. I have Dr. Jamie Michaels.
No S.
Jamie Michael. Dr. Jamie Michael of Michael Chiropractic in Smyrna.
Yes.
And also Tiffany Fitzgerald of Black Girls Golf.
Hello.
Both of the ladies are going to be telling us all about their business, how they got into the business, because they were both in other careers previously. So we're going to hear all about that, maybe give some listeners some inspiration, some motivation to go after their dreams. It's never too late to switch, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Dr. Jamie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a mom of two, but
Superhero.
I am also a family chiropractor, so I do have some special training in the pediatric population and the prenatal population that I enjoy working on. I think it's kind of what I attract into my universe a little bit. So, we have one of the largest practices on the west side of Atlanta where we focus on, you know, healing the body from inside, you know, letting ourselves be our own doctor. And I actually love what I get to do every day because I did not start down that path.
You were a chemist, right?
Right. So I started as pre-med. I always wanted to be Patch Adams ever since I saw the movie. So I went down the pre-med path in college, and I had a really terrible kind of medical experience my last week in college that kind of just made me, you know, have a gut check. No, this is not what I want to do every single day. So I
had a similar gut check, but
I had a biochemistry degree, so, you know, I needed to make some money. So I became a, I got a really great job coming out of school without a master's degree, and I was working for a division of Johnson & Johnson, and it was a good job. I mean, I think that there are a lot of people out there that would love to make the money that I was making. I had an amazing husband. We had just built a great house, but I kind of feel like I was on the fast track to boredom.
I can relate. Yes, I think Tiffany can.
We can all relate. Have a powwow.
You know, so, you know, I was just kind of walking through like a robot. I wasn't happy. And there were, I think the universe just kind of came up and slapped me in the face a little bit with this is what you need to do. There were a lot of different things that happened in my life, you know, at the same exact time that drove me into chiropractic. I already had the medical background, so it was really easy for me to transition into that. But I mean, I went from making the pharmaceutical drugs, promoting a company that made pharmaceutical drugs, to basically telling people,
you don't need those.
You don't need those. So I definitely went to the dark side.
Wow. So how did your friends and family, your colleagues, how did they all feel about that transition?
So I actually applied to chiropractic school at about 2 o'clock in the morning without telling my fiance. And I don't know that I thought I was going to get accepted, but I got a conditional acceptance letter within about a week of applying. And I was going to get married in about 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So I came home, I told my fiance, and I don't know, you know, it wasn't an argument, but we really didn't talk for like 2 days.
That's the only reason why it wasn't an argument, because we didn't talk.
I mean, I think he just kind of rolled his eyes, and this is another Jamie move. But, you know, my whole life, I feel like I've never been inside the box. But I've been right on the outside of the box. So enough, I'm mainstream enough that I still get invited to parties. But when I go to events, they're like, oh, here Jamie goes again. So it's pretty typical. I mean, I don't think it surprised too many people when I was like, hey, I want to completely change my life. But my husband, I mean, we had started a future that wasn't in Atlanta, Georgia.
we had built a house. We had started careers.
Outside of Atlanta?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
We were down in Lake Oconee.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, when my husband decided to come back to the table with, you know, what does this entail? I was like, well, I need you to get a job in Atlanta. And I'm going to quit my job. We need to sell the house. And I just need to start school. That's just what we need to do. And he's like, well, how about we just get married first, and then we'll figure out where to go from there. So that's kind of what we did. We got married like 2 weeks later.
Aww.
We went on a two-week honeymoon. And I know that Tommy had been exploring some options, but when we got back from our honeymoon, he turned on his cell phone, and there were two voicemails. And one was a job offer for the company he was currently working with, and the other was a voicemail from his cousin, who is now his, you know, business partner, at, you know, saying, I want you to come work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just took the leap. I mean,
I think that was a sign, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I said. Literally, the universe just kind of came up and slapped me in the face and said, this is what you have to do. And so my chiropractic journey and changing, you know, who I was at the core has been an easy move for me. But I think the biggest thing, and what I like to tell other students, is if this is your life purpose, just let it happen. Mm. You know, it's not to say that you don't have to get out there and work hard and put some pieces of the puzzle together. But if it's meant to be, if this is your life purpose, it's going to happen.
Right.
You know, just go through life with, like, positive intent. And the journey will be a little bit easier for you, rather than, you know, trying to suppress and try to be somebody that you're not supposed to be.
Right. Well, why chiropractic care? How did you end up in that field?
So, you know, I, like 90% of the U.S. population, thought about chiropractic as for back pain, or, you know, I never really knew it for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom had been diagnosed with leukemia my senior year in college, and she had really gone through all of the conventional treatments, and they may have helped some, but I really saw a really dark side to the chemotherapies and things. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was septic multiple times. There were multiple, you know, bouts of depression, and it was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And she had started experiencing, because her immune system was so suppressed, she had shingles like 9 times in one year.
Wow.
So she had lost a lot of sensation in the right side of her body. And her oncologist, which is her cancer doctor, said, look, I don't know exactly what these chiropractors do. You know, there's two females in Milledgeville, Georgia, where I'm from. Go see these ladies. Maybe they can help you out with the pain and the sensation that you experience in your hand. And so my mom started going to these ladies. Well, at the same time, well, I told you, I was so miserable kind of at my corporate job. I started exploring yoga, started teaching yoga a little bit. Well, I hurt my back, so I go to a back doctor. And, like, these things were happening simultaneously. So my mom was under chiropractic care with a different chiropractor. I went to this guy. And within 30 days, it's like my mom was, like, coming out of this really dark place and was falling into remission, which had not happened. And I stopped having headaches, and I had more energy, and I had lost a few lbs, and I just was happy. I was sleeping better. Quite frankly, my digestive tract was working better. And this is, I mean, I was in my early 20s, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, oh, I'm a super healthy person. And then, no, I actually experienced health. And so I went to Dr. Ted, and I was like, he had an assistant. And I was like, I want to do what she does. And he was like, Jamie, she used to be a banker, and you can do that, but you need to be a chiropractor. So it's like he gave me permission,
mm-hmm.
and then I really applied at 2 o'clock in the morning, one night at work.
Wow. Wow.
I get to be Patch Adams every day. I truly get to assist in the healing process and see families change their health.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I have a huge pediatric practice. So when the most common thing that kids go to the pediatrician for right now is ear infections, And overprescribed antibiotics, that's the most common reason that they're in my office. And I can give a parent an alternative to, they don't need the antibiotics. Let's just restore the structure of their bodies to restore the function.
Really? So chiropractic care can help with ear infections.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the birth process itself is, it's natural and it's normal, but mm-hmm. it's still a traumatic process. So there's about 90 pounds of pressure applied to the cervical spine, even through a normal vaginal birth. Mm-hmm. And practices of chiropractic, they may not have been called chiropractic, but have been practiced for, you know, 3,000 plus years. They just weren't called chiropractic. And the reality mm-hmm. is our nervous system is the only organ system in the body that controls every other organ system. So when your nervous system has pressure on it, maybe it's due to stretching of the spinal cord or pressure from a bone pushing on the spinal cord, or maybe just pressure on a nerve that comes out between the vertebra, it just impairs the function of our nervous system that can depress our immune system, mm-hmm. our digestive tract, the way that the lymph drains from the ears. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see with a lot of kids. So parents, their main complaints are, my baby doesn't breastfeed properly, I have ear infections, acid reflux, they don't sleep, constipation, bedwetting. And through a lot of research, we know specific areas in the body that need to be addressed, and through state-of-the-art, you know, diagnostics, we can determine if there's irritation on those nerves. Mm-hmm. So with just simple, you know, a chiropractic adjustment to remove that subluxation, we're just restoring the structure, which I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. The body does all the healing. We mm-hmm. just have to give it the tools to do so.
Mm-hmm. So how did, I guess, this interest in pediatric, and you do
pregnant women
as yeah. well, right? How did that come about?
I mean, you have to take the classes going mm-hmm. through. It's very minimal. And if that's an area that you want to focus on going through school, then you have to, you know, it's just like specialize in anything. And, I mean, as a woman, at the end of school, it was like my maternal clock was going mm-hmm. tick, 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 tick. So it was like on my brain. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just what I attracted to my universe. And I can connect with these women. I can communicate with these women. Mm-hmm. They respond really well. The babies, they don't talk back. So it's just something I continued to further, mm-hmm. and I was pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. And then I have children of my own, so mothers really relate. And then mm-hmm. when I was deciding to open my own practice, that's when, yes, chiropractic is my passion, and that's my love, and that is what I do. But my facility, you know, we do offer, you know, prenatal massage. We do have birthing classes. We have lactation consultants that come in and have these mom support groups.
Oh, I love it.
So
were you like 21 years ago?
They were out there. I just wasn't. So, you know, our practice definitely has a mission of changing our community. Uh-huh. We do dinner talks. We do lots of different things to engage our community and just tell them the story of chiropractic. It's very powerful. And just like you, I mean, you're a super educated woman, but you just never heard the story. Now you will.
No, I mean, my son had his adenoids removed and had to have tubes in his ear, and all I had to do was take him to the chiropractor.
Yeah, it takes, you know, maybe one adjustment, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. You know, it's different because the stresses on the body are different for mm-hmm. everybody.
Mm-hmm. So how do you go about, I guess, people like me who have this conventional way of thinking and people that are all pro drugs right. and everything like that. How do you convince them that they need chiropractic care, or that their child needs chiropractic care?
You know, not everybody's ready for it. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's ready to heal. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows that if you cut your hand, it's going to heal all by itself. Mm-hmm. And when you start with that basic principle of, you know, whoever your God is, mm-hmm. he created a perfect structure. We just screw it up. Mm-hmm. So if we can restore it to the way it was designed, treat our body like a temple, like we're supposed to, you know, innately we have the ability to heal. Mm-hmm. I think most people get that. I don't think people wake up every day and we're like, yes, please give me a prescription medication. Nobody wants to take a prescription. Most people feel like they have to. Some people are indoctrinated with fear. I do think that pharmaceutical companies and some medical doctors, not all medical doctors, they're pill pushers. Mm-hmm. You know, they scare you into it. They scare you into you nope, you got to come every quarter. We got to check your liver counts because you're taking this cholesterol medication. Rather than just trusting that our bodies can heal, we just have to give it the right tools to do so. Mm-hmm. So when people say, well, do you think I should see a chiropractor? Well, do you have a spine? Do you have a nervous system? Yes, I do.
Do you find that people just don't want to do the work, though? Because, like, when I think about it in terms of, like, a diabetic patient mm-hmm. who has all these comorbidities that go with it.
Exactly.
Is it just easier to take the medication than it is to change my diet and start to have a more healthy and active lifestyle? Is this easier to just take the meds?
Yeah. But most of those comorbidities are coming from the medication mm-hmm. they're taking. Mm-hmm. So if they're educated that, you know, taking synthetic insulin every single day is the reason that they have paresthesia and nerve damage and their eyes aren't right. If they knew that the synthetic medications that they were taking is the reason they have constant side effects, and if they were given the proper tools, I mean, getting adjusted, removing the subluxations and allowing your nervous system to do the work, that's an easy thing. But I will be the first to admit that, you know, being disciplined with the diet and going, walking 30 minutes a day, I know that it's all right. But yeah, those are hard things. And so when people come into my practice with, you know, the average person takes 12 prescription drugs a year. 68% of the U.S. population is taking more than one prescription drug a year. You know, they're, that's a lot of money.
I did not know that.
That's a lot of money that they're spending, and they're missing work, and they're still not getting healthy. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you have to change the way a person thinks. But most people are ready to, they do see the light, and they are ready to make positive health changes, but not everybody. And that's why we don't accept every practice member into our practice.
That's a good thing to do, because if you have someone in there with the wrong mindset, it's kind of pointless to even work on them. They're not going to get it.
I mean, you do have to receive the adjustment. You have to, it's just like with anything, whether you're deciding to make a business career change or, you know, whatever you want to, it has to be a happy thing in you, right, or there's going to be resistance along the way. So, I mean, I've seen people that with multiple sclerosis that were wheelchair bound walk. But I've also seen people with little minuscule things who didn't make very much progress. And so once I was in practice for a little while, that's when I'm not selective in who I allow to come into my practice, but I have to be the right provider for you, and you have to be the right patient for me, or we're going to be a terrible combination.
Mm-hmm. That won't be much fun.
That yeah. makes sense.
Won't be much fun.
I mean, that's not to say that there's not another chiropractor out there for them, right, but we're very principled in our actions, mm-hmm. and that's why we see great results, but you have to be ready for it too.
Right. So I guess, what do you do as your major form of marketing, or do you have more referrals from a doctor's office, a medical doctor, or how does it work? How has it gone for you, I guess I should say?
I mean, I do have some pediatrician and OBGYNs that do refer, and those mm-hmm. are great relationships. But for the most part, I would say I'm about 90% referral-based. Mm-hmm. So we have whole family wellness care. So when a family member decides, for whatever reason, they're coming into the practice, we do orientation with them. They don't just get to come in there, lay on the table, get an adjustment, and go home. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to go through an education process. They have to understand how their body's working, why chiropractic's working for them. And we offer things to their family to learn at their level of health, too. So mm-hmm. for the most part, we have whole families under care. Mm-hmm. And then they're at a family barbecue, and their neighbor's complaining that their kid is on Zantac at 3 weeks old because acid reflux. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, little Johnny had the same thing, but I took him to Dr. Jamie. You need to take your baby to see Dr. Jamie, because after three adjustments, they were off the medication, and they weren't spitting up anymore, and they weren't screaming at night every time I laid them down. So we're very much referral-based mm-hmm. because there's no mother in this world that wants their baby to be taking a medication mm-hmm. at 3 weeks old. Exactly. But I see it every single week. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's also amazing, like you were saying earlier, that you're a mother, so you can already relate to them before they even come in the door.
Yeah, I mean, they're scared. They think I'm going to, you know, go all Navy SEAL on their kid's neck.
That's funny.
But actually, a child adjustment is pretty similar to, like, checking the ripeness of, like, an avocado or a tomato. Mm-hmm. It's so – their bodies move so nicely, and they're gentle, and we sing Itsy Bitsy Spider. Aww. So they don't even know they're getting adjusted. They love it. They come in. They're angry if they don't get on the table before mom does. And I encourage them to bring their baby dolls in or their Barbies in or Transformers, and let's adjust them too.
Cute.
So,
yeah. Love it. Yeah, I hear the passion in your voice. I love it. That's so great when someone has found their true passion in life and they're actually able to help people and make a profit from it at the same time. Like, what's better than that?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing better than
that.
I mean,
but we do get out there and bust the streets a little bit. So festivals and a lot of female marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime I have the opportunity to go talk, I'm like, yes, please let me talk.
And welcome to Business Radio X.
I'm like, oh, you want me to be on the radio? Absolutely.
So what would you say to our listeners has been your biggest triumph in business and your biggest challenge in business?
My biggest triumph would be always trusting my gut. Mm-hmm. Now, that is me. And if it does not feel right in the gut, in my gut, in my heart, then it's not going to be a successful move for me. Mm-hmm. Now, that may have caused some failures, but for the most part, it hasn't. This has been a very easy journey for me. And when students come in stressed out about school and, you know, how am I going to raise the money to open a practice? Well, I opened a practice with about $3,000.
Wow.
I had my hands and I bought a website.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from there. I could probably have prepared a little bit better, but there are great mentors out there that will guide you along the way. You just need to attach yourself to the way that you want to be. Don't mimic them, mm-hmm. but use them as a resource to help guide you. And I am with a group called AMPT. Mm-hmm. It's a national like chiropractic group, but it's a bunch of people masterminding together, forming critical mass to go out and change the profession, to change the world. And we have chiropractors all over the world that are part of this, and we get to bounce ideas off of each other. So just having a really great support group. Mm-hmm. My husband is amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't resist too much because I think he's
figured you out.
He's
by
figured
now,
me out a little bit, but we're a great team. So he's definitely on my board of trustees.
That's awesome.
I think it's also good to like have these people that are in school, and he had like an imaginary board of trustees, mm-hmm. That he said that he frequently takes people on and off. But just
but it's imaginary. That's
but,
funny.
You know, just who do you go to for this type of advice? Who do you go to for this type of advice? And sometimes it's ugly advice, mm-hmm. but you really just got to take it in, absorb it, and as long as you are living a life with positive intent and passion, and you really, you know, whatever it is, whatever that purpose of that business is, as long as it comes from a good place, I feel like it's going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you work hard, it has no choice but to do something.
Yeah.
So if our listeners would like to know more about you and learn more about your office, give them the website and information, please.
So we are Michael Family Chiropractic in Smyrna. The website is www.michaelfamilychiro.com. And also we have a huge Facebook presence, constantly posting testimonials and pictures and events that we do. And that's just if you search Michael Family Chiro on Facebook, a lot of good information there that we post daily.
Great. So you're going to hang around while we talk to Tiffany
Absolutely.
And her transition?
I'm going to check Michael Family Chiropractic out.
We would love that.
You sound like a fan already.
I am a fan. I have a basketball player in my house who needs some adjustments.
Need some adjustments.
Yeah, my tallest
adjustments.
Basketball player was 7'9". He barely.
7'9"?
He was.
Do you have a table? Then?
Right.
He was an NBA basketball player. He barely fit on a table. 7'9". But
I can't even picture seven right now.
He had to sit in a chair to get x-rays.
Wow, but you helped him out.
Of course, he's still there.
That's awesome. So, Tiffany, tell us a little bit about you and Black Girls Golf.
So I have the typical story, like so typical. You go to college, you get a job, mm-hmm. you work really hard on that job, you try to earn a promotion and invites to those special projects and all those kinds of things. And that's what I did. I worked really hard and I got to work early. I stayed late. My kids would be asleep when I left.
You're such an overachiever.
I know. My kids would be asleep when I left home. They'd be asleep when I got home. You know, it was just that grind of trying to climb the corporate ladder that I think when we're in college, we have these, you know, stars in our eyes about being this powerful corporate businesswoman. That's at least what I thought I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And I got there and I was just grinding it out and nothing was happening. I was considered, actually, they didn't know my name. They mm-hmm. called me the Black Girl in Marketing. And, you know, I had the nameplate on the outside of my cubicle. I didn't think it was that hard. I have an easy name. It's spelled properly. And no one knew my name, no matter how hard I worked, no matter how good I was at the work product, it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing interns who were coming in who were getting these awesome job assignments. They were getting to take trips with executives, and I was jealous. I was pissed and I was jealous. And what I figured out was that these interns already had something above me. I was young, I looked younger than I am. I'm an African American and I'm a female. So before I open my mouth, I have three strikes. Mm-hmm. And on Fridays when it was nice, the managers, executives, they come down and say, hey, who wants to go hit some balls? And these young interns could go hit balls. They already had the uniform on, khakis and a polo.
You had on the skirt.
I had on the business suit that I was told to wear, you know, the suit and the heels. And so they were able to go hit balls. And while they were out on the golf course, they have 4 hours of uninterrupted, informal, relationship-building time with decision makers in the company. Mm-hmm. And the light bulb went on for me. Like, I got to be there.
Your wheels just started turning.
Yeah, I'm like, I need to be on the golf course. I went and bought a bag of clubs for $100. The clubs and the bag all came together. I think I got them from Kmart. I think it was like $86 or something mm-hmm. like that. And I went to the golf course and was just like, hey, who's in charge of showing people how to use these? I need to learn how to use these. And I signed up for, the PGA of America still does these classes. They're called Get Golf Ready. And Black Girls Golf has partnered with them now to do some of that curriculum. But the Get Golf Ready program is a 5-week program that doesn't, it can introduce you to the game, but it doesn't get you ready for the game. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take away the butterflies and that intimidation factor that golf has. So I got out of that class and thought I was ready. And the next time they said, who wants to hit balls? I went to go hit balls and I looked like a complete idiot. Like I was swinging and missing. Like it was ridiculous. I didn't understand that that 5-week course was strictly just introductory. Like, it was just, here's how you hold the club, here's how you're supposed to swing the club. I didn't really know the rules, the etiquette, and a lot of the etiquette around golf is very traditional and formal, and I'm kind of a, you know, I'm loud, I'm a 10 all the time. And so it was just a square peg trying to fit into a round hole.
Maybe we should go play golf together.
Oh, right. And I thought, this is the key to me getting where I want to be. I got to figure this out. And so I wanted to play more because I knew that would make me better, but there weren't other women playing. Mind you, no women, specifically no Black women. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was a problem that needed to be solved. And I moved to Atlanta, and I aggressively looked for more corporate work. But I had already trademarked this idea I had, Black Girls Golf. Like, I'm going to get more Black women on the golf course. And I had trademarked it, and you know, like you, Jamie, it was one of those things where I was just like, something in my gut is telling me, like, I got to solve this problem. Like, I have a passion for helping people and changing the world in some way. And my goal was to change the culture of golf in a way that it felt more welcoming and people didn't feel so intimidated by the golf course and by the people who play golf. And I couldn't find a job. And I was like, well, Black Girls Golf is, I'm just going to give it a go. I'm going to give 100% of my time to this and see what happens. And Thankfully, there are a lot of women who have the same issues that I was having. Like, this game seems so intimidating, and it seems so stuffy, and it seems so aristocratic, and the people who play, you know, it's for old rich white men is what a lot of people think. And I'm here to prove them wrong.
I know when I was a little girl and I was like, oh, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm like, I better learn how to play golf that I can go out there with all these white doctors out here.
Yeah, people associate golf with things that they don't have a connection to. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't feel connected to it. I just picked up the sport because I wanted to do better at work.
Nobody's going to be banging business deals without right. you.
You know, so I didn't feel I had a connection. And so part of what we do with our curriculum is we introduce Black golf history, because I think that the one way to connect people with something is to tell them a story that looks like them, that feels like them, a story that they can see themselves telling to their kids. And, you know, quite frankly, one of the first people to win the U.S. Open was a Black man.
Oh, really?
John Shippen. Mm-hmm. The person who patented the modern wooden golf tee, a Black dentist from Boston. Cool. You know, so there are so many cool stories about Black people in this sport that we don't know. One of the first instances of desegregation in the South was on a golf course, Alfred Tubb Holmes. And there's a course named after him right here in Atlanta. He sued Bobby Jones. He sued Bobby Jones because he wanted to play on his course, and Black people couldn't play on golf courses. He sued them. It went all the way to this state Supreme Court. He won and then decided, I don't want to play there. He went and played at Adams Park, and part of Adams Park is now Alfred Tubb Holmes Golf Course. So there are all these really cool stories about people who endured some of the most horrible hatred and negativity just to play this game, and for Black people to shun the game because they think a certain way about it. Black girls golf wants to change that and wants people to understand that we have a place in this game. We have a long history, a long, rich tradition of playing this game. Mm-hmm. And we should get out there and enjoy it. I mean, it teaches you patience. It teaches you focus. Oh,
sign me up.
There's strategy involved.
I need more of the patience part. I'm
not patient either. But when you play, being impatient
will
ruin your game. Mm-hmm. So you have to be patient. You have to focus. There's strategy involved. And 4 hours with someone, you decide in 4 hours whether you like them or not. Like, that's a really long time.
That's a long time.
I mean, but when people say there's business deals being made on the golf course, not necessarily the deal being made, but people do the business with people they like. Mm-hmm. And they have decided in that 4 hours if they like you or not.
They might have decided like 3.5 hours before that.
Oh, right.
And so like the first 30 minutes can be great or they can be terrible.
Or they can be terrible. Right. I mean, but you know how people are. He hit a bad shot. So is he going to be a jerk for the next 3 hours? Like, is that bad shot going to live with him for the next 3 hours? Like, you learn a lot about people and their temperaments and how they deal with stress if they're honest, because golf goes by the honor system. Mm-hmm. So there's so much you can learn about a person when you play that we're just totally missing out on because we're not on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. So how is this structured? Is this a club for women to just go out and golf? Is this lessons for women?
So we try to do it all. Mm-hmm. I'm a one-woman show, and so I try to do it all. We do lessons. We do golf instruction. I partner with Get Golf Ready, and so we use local golf professionals to teach a lot of the classes. We do networking events. We go out and have ladies-only outings because you know how women are. We like to be social. We're absolutely going to celebrate a good shot. We're going to high-five each other, and then we're going to go hang out and have margaritas or something later. So we try to make it very social because we want it to be fun. Mm-hmm. We want it to be fun.
And is this just in Atlanta, or where else is Black
Girl Golf? So we are headquartered in Atlanta, and when all the stars are aligned properly this summer, we should be expanding into a couple different markets: Cleveland, Chicago, Dallas, and New Orleans.
Awesome. Yay, New Orleans.
Yay, New Orleans.
It's my hometown.
Yeah, so we have women who have expressed an interest in Black girls golf. I have women in countries in Africa, the UK, Canada, who send me emails because they want Black girls golf where they are. Mm-hmm. And so if there's enough support and enough interest in a particular city or a particular market, we most definitely will check it out and see if it's worthy of having a chapter there.
So what do you find is your biggest challenge with a new golfer?
So new golfers come into the game with these preconceived notions of what is involved. And golf is a sport that contorts your body, really. There are things you do with your body in golf that you will do for no other reason.
You need a referral system.
Yes. But there are things you do in golf that your body will never do for any other reason. Like the way you move it, you don't move in any other area of your life. And so new golfers don't allow their body to have the conversation that's necessary to play. Mm-hmm. So if I take a new golfer to the putting green, which is where we start, people will like smack the ball across the other side. And it's like you didn't let your eyes tell your brain how far that was so that your brain could send a message to your hands and your arms to tell you how hard to hit that. Mm-hmm. You interrupted the conversation your body was already having. And so that's the biggest challenge, is that people interrupt the conversation. Mm-hmm. They don't just let their body take over, because golf is a game about feel. Mm-hmm. And it's about pace and tempo. And so, which is why it's fun, because your body kind of takes over you, and your swing is fluid when you let your body have the conversation. But the minute you get frustrated and you let tension seep in, throws your whole game off. And that's what beginners, you know, it's a frustrating game sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when you let the frustration take over, especially with new golfers, because they're going to hit a lot of bad shots, they get frustrated, they get tense, they tighten their grip on the club. And then it all goes to hell after that.
Mm-hmm. So do you miss corporate America? Are you going back?
I do not miss corporate America. My office is now a golf course, which I love. I meet the most interesting and amazing people on golf courses. You're outside. Golf courses are beautiful, serene places. Like, why would I sign up to sit inside of four walls with angry people who don't want to be there?
Amen.
No one wants to be there. So people who are on the golf course are there because they want to be. Mm-hmm. And so you're outside. It's beautiful. I love the golf course. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it.
So is there anything coming up for Black Girls Golf events?
So Black Girls Golf has classes that are enrolling right now. And mm-hmm. you can go to blackgirlsgolf.net. It's not .com. It's .net. blackgirlsgolf.net to enroll in beginner classes, where we start from people who've never touched a club before. And we also have intermediate classes, which is our Get Golf Ready 2. Mm-hmm. And beginning in May, we have a driver class. Everybody wants to know how to use their driver. So
how far can I hit it?
How far can I hit it? Everybody wants to hit it really far. So we have a class. It's actually a two-hour class. Mm-hmm. And we'll be working with a Golf Channel swing fix guy. He's like one of the best. And he's going to be teaching that driver class. So if you're trying to get some distance on mm-hmm. that driver, you want to sign up for that class.
And where were you recently? I saw some pictures of you on social media.
So I was at none other than the Pebble Beach. I participated in the AT&T National Pro-Am as a guest of AT&T. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. I got to play the course. I was inside the ropes with the new Masters champion, Jordan Spieth.
Woohoo!
I hung out at the pairings party with Bill Murray. I took pictures with Condoleezza Rice on the driving range. I took a two-hour course at the Pebble Beach Golf Academy. Like, this trip was, people say, was it like the trip of your dreams? And I'm like, no, I never dreamt that I would ever participate in something like that.
Dreams.
It was beyond my dreams.
Condi should be like your spokesperson. She's
I wish.
Woman who can play some golf and clearly has worked her way up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Condoleezza Rice, if you're listening, please call us.
Please call us, Condi.
I could be your chiropractor too.
Look, Madam Secretary, we need you to call us.
I could be your lawyer. We have a golf pro, we have a lawyer, we have a chiropractor, everything you need.
You don't need anything else. Yeah, it was an amazing trip, and I was very, very blessed to be able to participate. I was in Pebble Beach for 9 days as a guest of AT&T.
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
That's the only place that has better weather than Georgia.
Everywhere you look on that course is a postcard. Like, it is absolutely beautiful, and it looks like they pay someone to brush the grass. After playing that course, I feel like I can't play another course.
So would that be your favorite course?
That is absolutely my favorite course. It's the best course I've ever played, ever. And I've played some pretty cool courses. Like, I've played Torrey Pines, and I've played some cool courses, but Pebble Beach.
What's your favorite course here in Metro Atlanta?
I've never played East Lake, and I hear it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I would like to play that course. I've seen pictures. Mm-hmm. Like I Google it and look at the different holes. So if someone is listening who can invite me to play at East Lake, I would like to play. I've played River Pines and I really like River Pines. Mm-hmm. I like that course.
But no comparison to...
Nothing compares to Pebble. I don't think anything will compare to Pebble because it was the experience of it for mm-hmm. me. It was just like the whole thing. Nothing's going to compare to that. Unless I get invited to the Masters next year.
And then you're going to take me, right?
Yeah, of course. Okay, great. Yeah, yeah. We can broadcast live from the 18th hole.
That sounds like a plan. So if our listeners want to know more, I know you gave your website. Once, give your website again and all your social media information.
It is blackgirlsgolf.net, and I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook with Black Girls Golf.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Jamie, thank you so much.
I had fun.
Yeah, me too. These are great stories. You guys, all these make me feel so warm and fuzzy inside. I love hearing about people doing what they want to do as opposed to what they feel they have to do. So this was good. So I hope to have you ladies back again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so this is Lanice Williams signing off on another edition of Cobb County Business Radio X, where I highlight the best and the brightest in and serving Cobb County. Until next time. We'll be right back.